Jeremy McNichols joins the show in 25 minutes at 4:30. Our buddy Jay Gruden with his breakdown of the film of yesterday's 40-7 win over the Panthers coming up at 5. You'll also hear my interview from the locker room with Jeremy Chin at 6 o'clock right here on Grant and Danny. Your football team is rolling. Occasionally, though, there are parts of the operation that aren't doing as well. We know folks around us may have lost a friend or a family member. The exclusive sponsor of our show can help, the law firm Kondori & Murad. They'll guide you through difficult probate administration processes. They will help bring clarity and closure to a loved one's estate. Schedule a free consultation with their probate estate planning attorneys today. Visit kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that G&D sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. We're live on The Fan, all over D.C. on 106.7 in Richmond, AM 910, FM 105.1. Odyssey app, wherever you are in the country. And, of course, the video of the show is available every day live on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page. Let's get to our Beltway Blitz. We'll start Commanders, then hit the Caps, and we'll finish on the gridiron again. Our buddy Kevin Sheehan joins us to kick things off. Kevin, we got to start with the big update for people that are just jumping in the car, getting out of the office today. Dan Quinn basically described a day-to-day injury, but then called it week-to-week. That's not important. What is important is that he said that they are hoping that Jaden Daniels can play against the Bears, while they will be very thorough in helping him to recover this week. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was the important part of what he said. You know, it was kind of answering a message, you know, what message he would give the fans, and he said, it's not long-term. And we're hopeful that he'll play against the Bears. I don't know if he will or won't, but I think, you know, the relief is this isn't a several-week thing. If, you know, you take what he said and sort of that message to the fans that, you know, if he misses the Bears game, that might be it. But I'm no doc. We'll wait and see. But I'd love him to play Sunday if he's healthy.
Yeah, I just have too much emotional baggage with stuff like this, Kevin. I mean, it was supposed to be day-to-day or week-to-week, whatever we're using for McCaffrey, for Rashid Shaheed, or, you know, a number of guys who we're not going to see for some time. So, but this doesn't sound like those. This isn't like an ACL or something like that. But still, I'm very nervous. And the other part, though, for me, and I want to get your reaction, was I have so much emotional baggage, again, kind of referencing that, from 2012, where all I saw was this incredible athlete alone in the open field, getting hit, folded up, you know, going down like Gumby during claymation, sort of falling down a mountain. And here we go again with kind of this injury. Should he play? Should he run? And sort of the same debates. I just can't unpack all that stuff. Just want your thoughts.
You need to pour yourself a drink and relax. You got way too much emotion and too much baggage going, Danny. There are lots of solutions for your problem, many of which can be discussed off the air. But I did hear the question during, I think it was Sam who asked the question,
yep,
about, you know, the runs and would they rethink the runs? No, they shouldn't. And his answer was no, we would not. He actually described the play as, you know, kind of like what would happen on a big scramble play, which, you know, kind of made sense to me. Look, this offense is elite right now. And one of the reasons it's elite is the quarterback's part of the running game. It's making it so much easier for the running backs, for the offensive line, for their play action game. I don't want to see any of this, you know, eliminated from what they're doing. I still am, you know, all of us have watched football for so long. I still would contend that you've got a better chance or as good of a chance to get hurt in the pocket, you know, by, you know, a defensive lineman or your own lineman, you know, rolling into your leg than you do when you've got vision on an open run. I love what they're doing offensively, and, you know, you don't want to see him get hurt. This was a concern, obviously, with drafting him. That was the only concern that some people had because of the frame. And, you know, he does have to be responsible in the open field. And I think up until, I think he's been pretty responsible. I don't think he's been reckless. He was reckless last year because his team so desperately needed him to be reckless. They were so bad defensively at LSU last year. But I like what they're doing offensively. And we're just going to have to live with the risk, just like you've got with a lot of players.
I totally agree with your thoughts on the offense and not changing anything and living with the risk wholeheartedly. I'll disagree a little bit on the in-the-pocket, out-of-the-pocket thing. I think that's true for our guy, you-know-who, and for some other pocket quarterbacks. Not for this guy who weighs 203 pounds and falls awkwardly. I mean, there's just people can argue all they want to. They're wrong. He falls awkwardly. He does weird things at the end of plays routinely, and he has throughout the season. But I'm not going to sit here and be petrified every time he leaves the pocket. I guess the one thing I'll say, though, Kevin, is like in that specific play, and it's easy for me to say as a fat guy on his couch, he's got the sideline or the middle of the field, and he opts for the middle of the field. And forget for a moment that he probably scores on a 90-yard touchdown if he chooses the sideline. I just want to get to a point where he chooses the sideline, where they drill that into him. You see Mahomes does this bit all the time where he like straddles the sideline for 17 yards waiting to get either a 15-yard penalty or not. I'd like to get to a point where he doesn't cut it in toward the danger area of the field as often. That's all.
The first part is, has he fallen awkwardly this year? He has. Does he? Is that who he is and has been? He hasn't been. He's not been an awkward faller as a quarterback. He wasn't at the college level. And we've seen him go into a pretty smooth slide when he's gone into a smooth slide, or very, very adeptly get out of bounds to avoid a hit.
He's shown that he has that, but he also has shown a bunch that he falls awkwardly, too.
I think there's a couple of occasions where he's fallen awkwardly. Yeah. Yesterday, he was tackled awkwardly. He didn't fall awkwardly.
Well, he was going down onto his ass on purpose. I don't think he knew the other guy was coming from his right shoulder.
I think he cut it back because he thought he could score.
I agree.
I thought that was the opportunity that he thought, and we've seen that play before last year, but we don't have to get into that. I think that there's a lot they can do to sort of, you know, decrease the possibility of taking a big hit in the open field, or even emphasize the couple of times where he has gone down awkwardly. I don't think that's been a massive problem through seven games. I would disagree with you, but there are a couple of occasions, including in the very first game against Tampa. So, yeah, they can work on a lot of those things. But what I don't want to see is I don't want to see that incredible dynamic playmaking and his vision as a runner sort of quelled at all. This is a big part of what he is now. I think he will be. Look, he's got a frame that he had a rib injury last year in a game against Missouri. He came back in and played and led them to a comeback win, and he was running and taking hits. So we may see the occasional injury. Hopefully we don't see a serious one, and hopefully we don't see this become, you know, a consistent problem. But I don't know how you coach out of him the style, and you weren't arguing that anyway, the style of quarterback he is and the style of offense they have, which, you know, has
produced the best in the league.
Very high level.
It's pretty good. Yeah.
It's so fun.
Kevin, thank you as always, buddy.
All right, boys.
Kevin's the best. Check him out. Kevin Sheehan Show. Let's keep it moving.
Hit that Capital Center. Yeah. Sorry about it. While you're doing something else, the Caps put up 6 goals against the New Jersey Devils, had a huge lead, gave it up, but still won in overtime, Jeeps.
They have won 3 straight games.
They have.
They have 6 points in those 3 games, in regulation the first 2 games, and then in overtime against the Devils. Some notes on their season so far. Ovi scored his first goal against New Jersey on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
He is 40 away from tying, 41 away from breaking Wayne Gretzky's all-time record. Tom Wilson has scored in all 4 of their games so far this season. They lost to the Devils, then they beat the Knights, the Stars, and the Devils. Wilson has a goal in the first 3 games and 2 goals in the 4th game. He has 5 goals through 4. Absolutely incredible so far, and it's been fun to see him sniping. So he got his shot working.
So I don't think he ends up with 100 goals, but still, it's been refreshing.
It's not a bad pace.
It's been awesome.
Right? This is a much better hockey team than they were last year offensively. They added a ton, and on every single line, they've got new pieces. You've seen Mangiapane score his first goal. Taylor Radish score his first goal. We had a fight from DeHaim on the 4th line as a new player. Logan Thompson, their netminder, has mostly been really, really good dating back to the preseason. They look awesome. It looks like the national media that said they were not going to be very good is wrong. And I know it's only been 4 games, but they do have wins against a Vegas team that is a club a lot of people think could get to the Cup. Dallas team that a lot of people think should be the favorite for the Stanley Cup, and a New Jersey team that's the best in the Metro and is off to a roaring start. This has been ultra impressive
for the Capitals. It's going to take a little bit to get used to, though, to your point. I was had a stand-up show Saturday night and was listening to the call from Walton and Company, and he's like, "And Shaw, here's Duhaime and McElrath." And I'm like, okay, which team is that again? Who am I? Okay, that's right. Those are Capitals. Like, it's going to take a minute, I think, for some of these new faces, but it's not taking them that long to fit in, it seems like. They hit the ground running on all four lines, to your point.
13 goals and 3 wins in this 3-game winning streak. They're off tonight. They've got the Flyers tomorrow right here on The Fan at 6 o'clock, and then the Flyers in D.C. at Capital One Arena Wednesday night at 7:30. Let's keep the Beltway Blitz moving. Back to football and to a man who sat right next to me. Enjoyed some Sunday pigskin together, some fellowship and revelry in the press box. Our buddy Mitch Tischler of Monumental Sports. Mitchell, where to begin? I guess let's start with the Daniels update. I don't think that could have gone any better, to be honest. I know the words week to week were used, but really the description was day to day. And for Quinn to come out right on Monday and say they're hopeful that Jaden could play on Sunday, that was kind of what I wanted to hear.
Yeah, I mean, I think as far as kind of coach speak goes when it comes to player injuries, that's about as good a news as you can get. But you got to remember that this coaching staff and this front office has been playing the injury game pretty conservatively. If you go back to training camp, you think about all the time that Andrew Wiley missed with a lot of kind of questionable updates, same with Brandon Coleman. You know, you look at Marcus Mariota being put on IR when he first, you know, hurt his chest. This is a group that has been relatively conservative when it comes to kind of getting guys back on the field. And when you're talking about, you know, rookie superstar quarterback, I think he's going to have to be at 100% or pretty dang close to it if they're going to roll him out there on Sunday against the Bears.
Mitch, and I don't want to speak for Grant here, but we both kind of agree that it's actually a big deal that they can beat up on bad teams, which they have done. We're not used to saying that. Maybe once a season they would do that in years past, but they've done that here a couple times. If you went to the last two games at Northwestern, Westfield, east of the city, you've seen 73 points, or 74 points, I guess, whatever it is, and they've only given up 20. They're destroying bad teams. That means a lot. What do you think about that?
Absolutely, it means a lot. And for Commanders fans to sit there and not be impressed by what they've seen over the first 7 weeks outside of, you know, Jaden Daniels, you look at this defense is shutting people down. I mean, they almost had a shutout for the first time in, you know, 30-plus years. This was a Commanders team that at one time, you know, was the team that was getting beat up on by all these other guys. And, you know, now they're starting to turn the page. They're starting to flip the script on them. And you can only play the teams that are in front of you. You know, they can't go out and play the 49ers every week, and they can't play, you know, teams that are you know, looking at winning, you know, real football games in January and February. These guys are going out and winning the games that are in front of them, and they're kicking the snot out of these teams. I think that's a big step forward for this organization. They might not be quite in the echelon of the Ravens, but they're proving that they're not in the echelon of the Panthers, and that's a big deal.
Mitch, what do you make of the fact that with Marcus Mariota coming in, their offense did not miss a beat?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think part of that we have to give credit to the Carolina Panthers and, you know, the lack of defense that we saw from them. I think you give credit to Cliff Kingsbury for calling a good game and keeping this thing moving. But ultimately, that credit goes to Marcus Mariota, who, you know, came out of the gate. He was 0-for-3 and then finished 18 of 20 for 200-plus yards. You know, as the game moved on, it was important to see him go out and run this offense efficiently, because quite frankly, I was one of the people that thought that it was a little crazy to keep Marcus Mariota, because what we saw in the preseason wasn't particularly high level play or good play out of him. But to go out there on an NFL Sunday and, you know, prove that you're still a guy that can go out and win games is important, and particularly if he's going to have to go out here and play for a week or two while Jaden comes back from that rib injury.
I have such a hard time quantifying this defense, because they've shoved it on some really bad offenses a couple times, then of course struggled against some of the better teams, but everybody struggles against the Ravens, and everyone struggled against the Bengals offense. How good is this defense right now this minute, Mitch?
I think they're middle of the pack, which I think, if you are being realistic with yourself, is pretty good. I mean, this is a group that I think has a lot of holes in it, and this team is going to do a lot to try and, you know, patch those up as this season continues and as the quote unquote rebuild continues. But I mean, ultimately, you know, we're in a situation with this team, almost like we were just talking about you know, beating up on bad teams. Whether your defense is good or bad, they have to be able to dominate from time to time, particularly when you're playing a team like the Panthers. That offense looked a lot like what Commanders' offenses have looked like, you know, the past few years, kind of trying to nickel and dime your way down and, you know, get first downs and not make it look too bad at the end of the day on the scoreboard. And this defense stepped up and got stops when they needed to. They got turnovers when they needed to. And they basically, you know, put their foot on the Panthers' neck early in that game and didn't give them a chance to believe that they were going to step into the Northwest Stadium field and get an upset on today. And that's an important step.
Northwest Stadium Field.
Northwest Field Stadium.
Rolled right off the tongue there, Mitch. Well done. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate you.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, guys.
See you, dude.
Jeremy McNichols has crowbarred his way into the rotation at running back. He played so well when he got his opportunity that they still gave him looks yesterday, and he got 7 carries for 42 yards, and his rushing total for the season climb, while his yards per attempt continues to look like he's playing in the Big 12. He's going to join us next on Grant and Dandy to talk about the 5-2 Commanders that he has been a very key part of over the last month. You're listening to The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back to Grant and Dandy on The Fan. Jay Gruden will be joining us in 30 minutes for our weekly appointment with the former head coach here in D.C. Watch the film, get into the bottom of what they did well on offense. The Commanders hung 40. This is the second time they've done that at home. This is the third time already they've won a game with 38 points or more scored. And in fact, how about this stat I saw floating around online today? They have now outscored and beaten opponents by 21 or more points on the season 3 different times. They did that 3 times over the last 10 seasons total. From 2014 to 2023, Washington had 3 such games in those 10 seasons, and they've already done it in almost half of their games so far this year.
Crazy. Crazy.
What we're seeing is amazing. But one of the guys behind this offensive operation is on the line to help explain it to us, and that's 28-year-old journeyman Jeremy McNichols, who has found a home here in D.C. with the Commanders, and he is playing great ball. He is on the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app and visit BetQL.com. Jeremy, congrats on another home win and a 5-2 start, man. Thanks for joining us.
Appreciate you. Appreciate you guys having me.
Pleasure, man. Congratulations on everything to this point. It's been a blast watching. I can't imagine how much fun it is for you guys playing football right now, though.
Oh, it's so much fun. I mean, we're having so much fun out there, and just the energy and the crowd and the city rallying around us is fun.
Did you guys know before the season started that you were going to be one of the best offenses in the league? It's one thing to hope it. It's another to know it. And if the answer is yes, when did you guys start to piece that together that you were going to be really, really good?
I think just back in OTAs when we all got together and just seeing each other evolve and see the coaches just believe in us first and foremost, and then we started believing in each other back then, and, you know, you just look to your left and your right, and you just see talent, you know, and good guys that can go out there and play good ball. And, you know, just our system and how everybody fits and all the pieces fit. I think we believed back then when nobody else believed in us. So, and that's what was just preached to us. Like, we can go out there and beat anybody.
Jeremy, to me, what's been so, there's a lot that's so impressive. Obviously, the yards and points are pretty impressive, but there's an attitude and a mentality that just comes through watching the games. It feels like you guys are all unselfish. Whereas you look around the league and there'll be a time where a receiver doesn't get enough passes thrown to him, so now he's got to be separated from this guy or something like that. And it seems like it doesn't matter whose number is called. You had three touchdowns over the span of a couple of weeks and are in the game for big blocks, and receivers are all kind of chipping in that same regard. It seems to be this kind of team attitude, and it's not just fake. It's a real deal where you guys feel like you're really unselfish.
No, it's real, and I think we're all just at the point where we just want to win, you know. And you look at a guy like Terry that's been in here for a long time, has been very successful in this league, and you just see the way he works and his unselfishness and just what he does on the field, you know. You could just tell he wants to win, and, you know, him being one of our leaders and being here for a long time and being a foundation, and you just look at him, and that's enough, you know. A guy like that is just so unselfish. You want to rally around a guy like that, and then everybody else just does the same thing. So yeah, I just think we just want to win any way, anytime, anywhere, you know.
Jeremy McNichols, 7 carries, 42 yards yesterday for the Commanders as they beat the Panthers 40-7. On the season, Jeremy is averaging 6.6 yards per carry. I want to go back to when you got your first opportunity, because you weren't on the field really on offense the first couple weeks. I think you got one carry against the Bengals. B-Rob was still healthy in that game. But it was at Arizona the following week where you break out when he was unavailable. You had 2 rushing touchdowns, ran for about 70 yards, had that long 27-yard touchdown. And since then, there have been 3 games, and you've been heavily involved in the game plan every week. Take us back to that time. We were all kind of worried that there would be no Brian Robinson involvement and no Austin Ekeler with a concussion, I guess, that first game. And you just picked right up where those guys had left off. Did you know going into the Cardinals game how big your role was going to be?
No, I didn't. They just said be ready. And I think that's been preached since we all got back together back in April. Next man up. It's a 70-man roster. Everybody has to be ready. And I just think that's how we go about our business every single day and every single week. You know, we got games every single week. So we got, and we have to go 1-0 every single week. And whoever's up for us, we expect them to come in and produce and help us win by whatever their role is for that week. You know, it could change. And just being ready, knowing the plays, knowing the scheme, knowing what we're trying to do for that week and what we're trying to accomplish. And I think just top down, that's just how we go about it.
It's one thing when Austin's out to get that workload, or when B-Rob was out against the Ravens to be involved. But yesterday, with those two guys healthy and on the field, you got the first running back carry of the game, I think. You hit that 9-yarder pretty quickly on the first drive, and you were involved. 7 carries, more than Austin had, right there with B-Rob. But it seems like that's the plan now. You've proven something that they want to keep you involved. What does that say to you?
However I can help win. That's just, I'm a very unselfish player, and I just want to win. I don't care how we win, what I got to do, you know, playing teams, running the ball, blocking. It just doesn't matter to me, man. And that type of mentality, I think, spreads and shows in the type of player that I am, and I want to continue to be for this organization and for this team. So for me, just continue to be ready for whatever moment comes up in the game and weeks ahead.
Jeremy McNichols with us here on Grant and Danny. Jeremy, you've been around the league a little bit. You played for Kyle Shanahan, a 10-6 Frank Reich team in Indianapolis. Played for Mike Vrabel, who I think is a really good coach. And as I said, you've experienced a few different programs to this point. What makes this staff, this coaching group, different maybe than some of those other stops?
Just our brotherhood is preached. It's taught. It's just instilled in us. Is this game is bigger than the game. It's a brotherhood. It's the love we have for each other from top down. It's the work, knowing that when you look to your left and your right, that you want to play for those guys when you're out there. It's just a different feel that you have here. It's a different appreciation that you go out there every single Sunday and just want to win for your squad and win for the city. A big part of that, you know, is the fans coming out as well, too, and just showing us love and giving us energy to want to change this thing around. You know, it's a historic franchise, and a lot of us do know what's been here in the past, and being able to come and change it and make it better, that's what makes us different, playing for each other and wanting to go out there and win every single Sunday.
Yeah, I know that you're new here this year, but you've been in this stadium and you've been around the block. You are a student of the NFL. It is night and day different out there right now. When you talk to some of the guys that have been here, what kind of things are they saying about what they're getting from the fan base on game day? Because as someone who's been at almost every home game since 1999, this has been really refreshing.
Just the energy. Energy is new life. It's new. It's fresh. It's winning. It feels good. You know, it's a place that you want to come out there and work hard for and win for and put it all out there every single Sunday and empty the tank out every single Sunday. You know, it's just a different change. The culture is different here now. It's just, you just want to win. You just want to play hard. You know, I know these fans have been through a lot throughout the years, and, you know, they're used to winning. Yeah, it's a winning tradition, and I think it's preached throughout the league. So I think that's just where a lot of the guys have been staying, and I think we're heading in the right direction with, you know, our staff and DQ and AP.
Jeremy McNichols, a 2017 fifth-round pick, 162 overall, back then by the Bucks, was bounced around, now found a home in D.C. He has been awesome this year. Did you ever, like high school or anything, did you ever play a different position than running back?
I did, yeah. I used to play receiver in high school and a year in college.
You never played defense?
Here and there. I like to get in the end zone.
I love it. The reason I ask is you have been a massive hitter on special teams this year. You had a nice tackle again yesterday where you drill a guy. But, Danny, I think Eckler, we do a weekly segment, yep. Just so you know, Jeremy, with your running back mate, Austin Eckler. He'll be on the show tomorrow at 5 o'clock. He's on with us every week. But he has kind of singled you out a couple times, but generally the whole kick coverage team. Like, you have been bringing the lumber on special teams. Have you always played teams that way?
Yeah, it's an important part that goes kind of unnoticed, but it's one of the most important parts of the game because that's a transition phase, right? Like, you know, we're kicking the balls, touchdowns been scored, and it creates so much momentum. And being able just to be out there and be able to run down on kickoff or cover a kick or get a big return for our offense, you could just see the sideline. You could see just the energy can shift so fast, and just being a part of that. And it's not just me. It's the other 10 guys on that field that want to go and change the game as well. And, you know, it's preached to us every single week that, you know, we got to go out there. We got to go out there and hunt, and we got to go out there and eat, and we got to go out there and put our defense and our offense in the best position possible because it's a very important part. You know, a lot of times special teams is only – highlighted when it goes bad. If a punt return, we give up a punt return or we give up a big play, but why not us? Why not us go get a turnover? So I think that just mentality we go out there and play with on teams. Like, why not us? Why can't we change the game? You know, it's a play. So let's go out there and play the hardest. Let's go play fast and, you know, just play physical every single time we touch the field.
So Jeremy, we mentioned Austin Eckler. He'll join us tomorrow. You've got 3 touchdowns and he's got 1. What trash have you already talked to Austin Eckler, and what would you like us to pass on to him tomorrow on your behalf?
Oh, no, man. It's no trash. It's all love, man. It's all love. We brothers. We in the same room. Like, I root for him every single Sunday. Like, I want him to do good every single Sunday. I've been a big fan of him since we came in the league together. So he's had a great career, and And I hope the best for him. Like every single Sunday, we root for each other. Like I think we each other's biggest fans in that room. You know, like coaching each other up, helping each other up on the sideline. Like I said, we all just want to win on Sunday. So it really doesn't matter who scores or who gets the touches. It just did we get the W at the end of the day? And you can pass that on to him. So.
We will. He's on tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll tell him.
Yeah, it's nothing but love, man.
Although, if you have any kind of funny, embarrassing stories we could mention, we'll take
those.
We'll
just pass those on, too.
Yeah, that'd always be fun. Last one for me.
He's a great teammate.
He's been a lot of fun to have on the show.
Yeah,
last one for me. We just heard Dan Quinn about an hour ago update us. He says you guys are hopeful that Jaden can play against Chicago, and he's going to be, he said week to week, but there's the chance he could play. I guess, number one, have you talked to Daniels, and what kind of mindset was he in, and how was he feeling? And number two, what's your thought with the Bears looming, with or without Daniels, on kind of how that changes things?
I haven't talked to him too much about any type of injuries or when he's playing or anything like that. But whenever he's ready to get out there and give it his all, and he's healthy, they're ready to go, then that's up to him and our staff to decide. But I know he wants to be out there. I know he loves this team. I know he's a key part for us, and he's a key leader for us.
What was the moment like when he did leave the field when he was injured? You guys didn't miss a beat and were incredible and still went on to put up a huge number of points. So he obviously responded very well, but what was said and what was kind of the vibe in that moment, knowing that he might not be available the rest of the day?
Man, I mean, it's just a testament to our team, man. It's just we know if one of our guys go down that the next guy got to step up. And, just to have a guy and a leader like Marcus Mariota in our building and on our offense that knows what's going on, I mean, gives us the utmost confidence. And that just goes from top of the roster down, Hey, we got to cover for somebody. But at the end of the day, we just got to get these wins. And that's our goal.
Chairman, you had a couple of stints in San Fran that intersected with Adam Peters, who's done such a good job as the first-time new GM here in D.C. How well did you know AP before signing here? How much of a factor do you think that relationship was in bringing you here?
I don't think it was too much of a factor. It was just going to the best spot and the best opportunity to be able to continue to play and accomplish my dreams. And, I think this was the best spot for me. Just, a new team, a new scenery, just something new. And, he's been awesome, and he's been doing a great job. And, I think he's going to continue to do that.
Jeremy, great to catch up with you, man. Continued success. Congrats on all of it, and it's been a blast, buddy. Thank you.
Appreciate you.
You got it. Jeremy McNichols.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Of the Commanders, who are 5-2, and they have yet to lose 3-0 at home. They got another home game cooking with the Bears this weekend, joining us here on Grant and Danny. We thank him for his time. Jay Gruden at the top of the hour, a little over 15 minutes away. Looking forward to that conversation. Let's give you the latest on the Jaden Daniels recovery plan as it's been laid out next on G&D. Welcome back to Grant and Danny. Thanks to Jeremy McNichols for joining us. You are listening to The Fan. They've got three running backs they use now. We've talked a lot about what a good year Brian Robinson's having and how dynamic Austin Ekeler is. He had more juice left than people assumed coming into the season. But if you look at it right now, Robinson averaging 4.7 a carry, Ekeler averaging 5.9 yards per carry, Jeremy McNichols, 6.6 yards per carry on the year. By the way, you throw in Jaden Daniels, there's got to be no other teams in the league with four ball carriers with at least 25 attempts who all average 4.7 or more.
Golly.
There's just no way. It's been utterly dynamic.
Yeah, that laboring power back is averaging 4.7 yards a pop. Unreal.
Not that laboring,
yeah,
to be honest
not,
with
yeah.
you. I mean, that's kind of the book for people that aren't big Robinson guys, but he looks dynamic when he heads off left tackle, has vision, cuts back to the right, and gets 9, which he did whenever he wanted to yesterday.
Yeah, he runs with some burst and power. Yeah, the running attack is unbelievably good. There's no other way around that, right? Where, I mean...
I always am quick to say it's a product of Daniels' mobility because you're defending 11 on 11, but he didn't play for 48 minutes yesterday. And I know the Panthers are horrendous, and it wouldn't be this way over 17 games. They kept running the ball at the same rate.
Mm-hmm.
Mariota, with his feet, gave them the Daniels element. Remember when he started for the Falcons in Washington?
Yeah.
A few years ago, they almost beat the Commanders.
It's Daron Payne's pinky that won
exactly.
the game.
Exactly. Like, mm-hmm. Daron Payne batted a ball at the goal line stand at the end. In that game, I bring this up because he ran all over Washington. He had like 2 or 3 carries for 10 or 11 yards on little read options. He can do that, and I think having to respect that is not a whole lot different. It's part of why they still had a lot of success running the ball, and I think that's why he's their backup.
Yeah, it certainly is part of it. But I guess the way I always – you always want to quantify we think about blame pies in years past. Now this is credit pie, which is very, very weird, but it's so delicious. So why is Austin Ekeler running for 6 yards a game? I'm sure part of it is Jaden Daniels. I'm sure part of it is. It can't be all of it. It's not why he's running for twice what he was last year. You know, Brian Robinson, career high. It's not 100% because Jaden Daniels is there. It's part of it. It's an ingredient. How significant an ingredient? That's for really smart people to decide. But it's not 100% simply because they've got a really athletic quarterback and a really good scheme. There's a lot going into it where tight ends are blocking really well. These guys, the running backs themselves, are actually running effectively. You look at the blocking of at the receiver position, some of the creativity in the running game. The offensive line, I think, deserves a ton of credit. To me, run games are less about an individual running back and more about all those other things. And then you can kind of plug the running back in that fits what you're trying to do. And they've done that really, really well here. There are three guys with complementary skill sets that really seem to fit that design, where you'd prefer a guy with maybe, remember Chris Rodriguez, for example, last year looked great at times with sort of a smaller Brian Robinson, a lot of burst, running with physicality. They said, thank you so much. You can sit down on the practice squad. We've got guys that fit what we want to do, and it's working.
Dan Quinn, speaking about Jaden Daniels today, said he is week to week. The quote was, we're hopeful he can play, meaning the Bears game, but we'll also make sure to take every precautionary step and do it smartly for the player and the man. Quinn said they'll take it through the entire week, evaluating him as they go. Clarified that Daniels did indeed injure his rib on the 46-yard run, which I think most of us knew if you rewatched the game last night and did any homework on that. The Commanders' first offensive snap was when he hurt that rib, but no crack, no break, it doesn't sound like. He's not going to wear any more padding or a flak jacket or anything. It's more of seems like a discomfort thing. Maybe, I don't want to start diagnosing what was pulled or what happened, mm-hmm. but very, very good news, and it certainly seems like he used the words, we're hopeful. Like, they think there is a chance that Jaden Daniels can play against the Chicago Bears in that highly anticipated matchup, not only of a really good Bears defense and the best offense in the league in Washington right now, but the number one pick, Caleb Williams, and the number two pick, Jaden Daniels. At the top of the hour, when you hear from Toby with an update here on Grant and Danny, we've got breaking pretty huge Wizards news as they continue to form their roster of the future. A massive extension given out to one of their players. Toby will have that right at the top, and then you'll hear from Jay Gruden as soon as we return right here on G&D.